Father, this morning we love you. God, we just sing, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. God, you're worthy of all of our praise. God, we thank you for joining us here. We thank you for just being in the middle of our worship, God. We pray that you were honored through it. We love you. Pray that you'd speak to us through your word this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the Revelation, John saw a scene where there is a seal that needs to be opened, and there is no one worthy to open the seal. And there's some commotion before the throne. Who is worthy to open the seal? And appears is a lamb that's been slain, broken, and he is worthy to open the seal. And there is in heaven, I picture Grant on the drums, boom, 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 boom. And they sing that song right there. That's just basically the song. The Lord can open that seal. He is the Lord forevermore. And it's going to be a real glorious time. So, mamas, this is Mama Day. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. That's some good music there, isn't it? Waylon and Willie. The young people can go home and Google that. You might find that out. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the making of Timothy. First of all, moms, there are no perfect mamas. No perfect mamas. Now, today I think that a lot of mamas have a lot of guilt. I don't think Pinterest is good for mamas. I don't think Facebook is good for mamas. I don't think Instagram is good for mamas. I don't think cell phones are good for mamas. I have witnessed, I have heard, you'll see something take place and you'll believe that so-and-so is the perfect mama, a lot better mama than you are, and you compare yourself to that mama. Her kids are always seemingly tidy and neat and haircutted and all those kind of things. And your kids aren't. Their kid gets first chair with the trombone or plays shortstop for the best little team. Or, you know, and when she does snacks, all the kids love her snacks. And you forgot about the snacks on your turn. And you ran down there to the store, and you bought a bunch of Snickers, and they melted on the way. And you are comparing yourself with her because you think she's perfect. Let me tell you straight up, this is from the word of the Lord, she ain't perfect. Now, she may be wore out trying to appear perfect. She may be stressed out trying to help all the other mothers believe she's perfect, but she's not perfect, okay? So if you're in that compare game and you're feeling guilty, I want you to think about that clearly. Understand that she's not perfect. Matter of fact, she's probably trying to be perfect or to appear to be perfect. And she goes to bed every single night with the worst migraine headache because she is stressed out to the max because she knows she's not perfect. And the truth of the matter is she's probably thinking you're perfect while you're thinking that she's perfect. And you ought to sit down and talk about that. We always lose when we compare ourselves to other people. Mamas, there are no perfect ones. You will make mistakes. And not only will you make mistakes, but you need to understand that all the mistakes that you make being a mama, it will not be the deal breaker. Matter of fact, the mistakes that you make along the way, they may be the very thing that your children need to see so that they can develop and be prepared to stand before the throne of God and praise the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. We are preparing our kids for a spiritual life. We're preparing our kids to be obedient to the Lord and obey Him and to walk with Him. And they're not perfect, and they're going to have troubles and struggles and problems. They are going to sin, and we need to show them what it's like to be imperfect in this world and be walking forward. So don't beat yourself up over mistakes. Now, if you are full of guilt, you need to ask yourself, where's the guilt coming from? Is the guilt self-imposed guilt? Is the guilt necessary? Okay? Now, if the guilt is the conviction of the Holy Spirit about something in your life that needs to be confessed and repented of, by all means, do that. Get right with the Lord. But recognize that there's no perfect moms. You're going to make mistakes, and mistakes are beneficial to your children because you're letting them see what life is all about and how to live. Realistic expectations is a blessing that you can give your children. Realistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations is not a blessing for your children. Be careful with your expectations. Are they real or are they unrealistic? Teaching your child to speak Mandarin and play the piano by the time they're three may not be realistic for your children, right? It may not be realistic that your child plays shortstop. He may not be able to throw the ball far enough. He might be the second baseman. Let that go if shortstop is the king of all kings for you. Preparing your child for the path is a good thing to do. Prepare your child for the path. It is not a good thing to do to prepare the path for your child. Now, think about what that means. If you are preparing your child for the path, you're not running ahead of them, fixing or moving all the obstacles that they're going to encounter. Let them encounter them. Prepare them for the path. If there's a problem at school, don't go up there and fix it for them. Let them fix it. Let them work on it. If they have a problem with a bully, let them sort that out for a while. Give them the tools they need to have to know how to handle that, to know how to deal with that. And if that doesn't work, find you a square and off place and help your kids understand what that means. I'll leave it lightly. That might be a joke or it might not be. Depending on who it is. Allowing your children to fail is a good thing. Man, I know that all the younger parents today, I don't know where it started, but it started long after I was raised. But today, there is a real, I don't know who started it. I don't know which blogger started it. I don't know which beautiful, perfect mom started it. But there is a real problem with parents today about letting their kids fail. It's unrealistic. It doesn't make sense. Your kids are going to fail. Let them fail. When your kid brings home a C, if it's Lee Brewer, rejoice. But if it's, you know, if a C is not acceptable in your house, then don't go up there and blame the teacher or the school about your kid C. I know why your kid got a C, because either a C is good for him or he didn't turn in his work or he didn't make assignments. He was goofing around in school or she was goofing around in school. You know that as well as I do. But when C is a failure to you and you go up there and you just absolutely lose your Christian witness over your kid C, you're not helping your kids. Let me tell you something else that doesn't help your kids. By picking the Little League coach, picking their school teacher, and making sure that you get that your kid gets everything you want them to have. It could be that the teacher you think's the worst one is the best one for your kids. I remember when Daniel was in the second grade, he got the meanest school teacher at the school. He needed the meanest school teacher in the school. She probably never put Daniel up there in front of the school and says, "Daniel, you're so special and so this and that and the other." I guarantee that never happened. And it was good for him. It was good for him. So, listen to me. I know I can speak from a place of consultant, but I done made most mistakes. I'm on the other end of it now. Hey, prepare the path
for your kids is a problem. Thank you. I got it. Thank you. Hallelujah. Listen to your wife, fellas. It's a good thing to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let your baby, that's as far as I go. Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Let's move on. I forgot what I was going to say. Encouraging your children. No, I'm sorry. When you do that, you're robbing them of all the opportunities they need to have in their life to get them ready for the future. Because they're going to face troubles that mama and daddy aren't there for. And you got to get them ready. And they begin now. Now, look. A lot. We're going to have senior week here soon, and we're going to get up there, and we're going to be all, yay, you know, they're going to go to this school, that school, and their accomplishments. And we see it every year that most of them aren't ready to go off. It all sounds good. Mamas, don't go down the... Never mind. Let them decorate their own rooms. I see it all the time. People just lose their mind. For 3 weeks, they're doing all the decorating. You know, when I left to go to Howard Payne University, I don't even think my dad was at the house to say goodbye. He said, Brownwood's that way. See you later. I mean, I had a couple pairs of jeans and a couple T-shirts and a pair of Justin Ropers. And, you know, I just took off. Had my stereo. Had my records. 8-track tapes. That's all I had. Maybe it was different back then. Hovering parents is not a good idea. Hovering. Helicoptering is what I think a lot of people call it today. Helicoptering parents. Hovering around, making sure. Releasing parents is a good thing. Who release their kids. Encouraging your children to be who God has wired them to be is a good thing. Living your life or your failed dreams to your children is not a good thing to do. Your highest goals for your children that are earthly related are bad. Do you know that? The highest goals. Now, you ought to have goals for your kids, pass school, you know, be respectable, have character, all those kind of things. But the highest goals that you should have for your children are faith, love, and hope. If your kid leaves your home to go to school and they have faith, love, and hope, that's a lot better than Algebra 2. It really is better. Because they may be able to get a good grade in Algebra 2, but without faith, love, and hope, they're going to struggle with life. And they're going to have a hard time. And you've had 12, 16, 17, 18 years, or whatever it is, to teach faith, hope, and love, and all that that implies. So let your spiritual goals be your highest goals. Love God. Love others. Have a high integrity, a high spiritual life. And probably one of the most important things you can do, mamas, is you release yourselves to the fact that God loves your children and He knows what's best for your children way beyond you. He knows what's best. And He is at work in the lives of your children, steering them. Get out of the way and let Him do it. Get out of the way. The making of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. Verse 5, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I am in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plan to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I'm suffering here in prison. I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until the day of his return. Hold on, he says to Timothy, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. So in the making of Timothy, we see first of all in verse 3 that he was prayed for. Timothy was prayed for. Paul said, night and day, I prayed for you. Timothy prayed. We ought to pray for our children. It's one of the best things we do. Perhaps we could say it's the greatest thing we can do. We also see in verse 4, the second thing about the making of Timothy. Timothy was connected with Paul. We understand that Paul discipled Timothy. Now, Timothy is from Lystra. His mother is Jewish and his daddy is Greek. Paul went to Lystra, spent lots of time in Lystra, had some difficult experience in Lystra, but he preached the gospel in Lystra and he established a church there and many, many came to Christ. We believe that Timothy came to Christ under the ministry of Paul in Lystra. Not only Paul, but of course his mom and his grandmother came to faith in Christ. But verse 13 says, hold on to the wholesome teaching you learned from me. Paul says, remember what you learned from me, the wholesome teaching you learned from me, and hold on to it. And we know that the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy is directed towards Timothy. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, Timothy, my sincere child, my child of faith. And so there was a Paul-Timothy relationship. And so what do we learn from that here on Mama's Day? We learn that Timothy was discipled by Paul. Is your child being discipled? That's a real important question. Is your child being discipled by you or someone else? In your home, is discipleship going on? Are you teaching your children how to pray? Are you teaching your children what it means to listen to the Holy Spirit? Are you teaching your children what it means not to be church, but to be alive in Christ? Are they learning that? The best place for your children to learn what it means to live for the Lord is in your home. Now, if you're depending upon the church to do that, that's a real mistake. We supplement what you do. We supplement what you provide. Now, it could very well be that someone else disciples your child, that teaches them how to live for the Lord in certain ways based on different circumstances, but the very best person to disciple your children is you. Is you. Dad, it's you. Mom, it's you. Sit out there in the back porch and talk about what it means to live for the Lord. Teach them more than just facts about Jesus. By all means, teach them the Ten Commandments. By all means, teach them who Jesus is, what he did, what he stands for, what he has said. But teach them how to apply what Jesus said to their everyday lives. Use all your opportunities you have to disciple your children. The third thing we see here is Timothy saw faith lived out. Look in verse 5. I remember your genuine faith, for you share The faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. Now, Timothy saw real, true, sincere, genuine faith lived out. The best way to teach faith to your children is for you to live it. Is for you to live that faith. Now, the truth is, if they are not seeing faith lived out at home, you're playing catch up when there's a real problem in their lives and you start trying to teach faith. Do you understand that faith is caught far more than it's taught? Do you realize that? You can teach faith all day long, but seeing faith lived out is a much better platform for teaching than teaching. What is caught carries far more depth than what we say. And so Timothy benefited from seeing faith lived out. Not perfection, not sinlessness, not having everything together, but having faith. Seeing how you handle problems, seeing how you handle struggle, seeing how you trust the Lord with this and that and the other. Seeing how every single day that you share your life with your kids and you help your kids see what it means to truly live by faith. That's what happened with Timothy. Now, he had two really important mamas in his life. He had his grandma Lois and his mother Eunice. Paul says about these two ladies, they were ladies of real, genuine faith. Now, Timothy benefited from his grandma's genuine faith. Grandmas. Your greatest influence is being a grandma. If you're a grandma today, you have become the most influential you've ever been. You don't even have to live close to your kids, to your grandkids, and you have influence over them. Everyone is bent to love their grandmother. All children are bent to love their grandmother. You have great opportunity as a grandmother to demonstrate what it means to live by faith. Not perfect, not having all the answers to life problems, but faith, hope, and love. Now, one of the things that you can do that's a real benefit to your grandchildren is you support their mom and dad. You support the discipline in their mom and dad. Now, one of the best things you can do when your grandchildren are sideways with their parents is you have great opportunity. They're sideways with their parents. The conversation between the children and the parents is haywire, and have the spiritual depth and the spiritual maturity to be able to sit down with your grandkids and say, now, wait a minute, you need to see this from your mom and dad's point of view here. You need to see what they're doing. You need to see why they're doing it. And you need to add that. One of the problems we have in our society is we're so spread out, and we don't appreciate the wisdom of grandparents. Now, I didn't know that before I was a grandparent, but now that I am, I think I've made enough mistakes that I've got a degree in parenting. I have made enough mistakes in my life to know that I figured a few things out. And if they'll just listen to me, they've got a head up. So grandparents, grandmas, you've never had more influence than you have now. Now, don't use for an excuse that you don't have the energy and you don't have the physical feelings anymore, you know, because getting older is part of becoming a grandparent, right? Very few grandparents don't start falling apart, right? I mean, I'm falling apart, you're falling apart. That's what we have in common, we're falling apart. You know, it's a bunch of grandparents sitting around a table when all they talk about is they're falling apart. You know, I've seen the doctor more in the last 2 years than I've seen in all my life. I've got Achilles problem right now. It's killing me. Right now, as I'm talking to you, that sucker hurts. What's up with that? Getting old. My hair's falling out. Nothing works. It's a problem. But as we get older, and as physically as we wear out, in Christ, we should be becoming stronger on the inside. The best people to pray for the grandkids is the grandparents. Hopefully they know the Lord well. Hopefully they hear His voice. Hopefully they know how to spend time with Him and do war for their children, their grandchildren. And to pray and to be strong and to have a spiritual power. Timothy benefited from seeing his grandma's faith. And he benefited from seeing his mom's faith. Paul said, I've seen it. I've observed it. Your mother has passed on to you real faith, Timothy. You are better because of that. What are you committed to pass on to your children? Moms, what are you committed to pass on to them? What matters most to you? Etiquette or what it means to follow the Lord? What means the most to you? Academic progress or progress in the Lord? Social progress or spiritual connection? What matters more? We should teach them. And then we see in verse 6 and 7 something that's very important. Paul says to Timothy, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So, your child has a spiritual gift that's from the Lord. Fan that flame. Your child is bent. Your child is put together for a certain purpose. A bunch of the conflicts between parents and children is when the moms and dads don't respect or see how their kid is put together. And they don't fan that flame. Now, God's saying to Timothy, fan that flame, Timothy. You've been given a spiritual gift. Fan that flame. Work on it. Develop it. Timothy's a young pastor. He's moving forward. But there's a lesson for us in this, is know your kids, believe the deposit God's made in them, and fan that flame. Encourage that flame. Support that flame, that bent, how they're wired. They may not be anything like you. That's not wrong. That may bruise your ego. That may bruise your dreams and your desires that you've always had for your kids. But however God's wired them, help them discover that and fan that flame. Timothy was a man of faith. Paul said about Timothy, he didn't have anybody else quite like him. Timothy was the man. Paul groomed Timothy to carry on the work beyond him. To be a leader of leaders, to be a spiritual disciple maker. And that flame needs to be fanned in life. Now, in closing, just a couple reminders. Moms, no perfect moms. If you are full of guilt today for your momming, be objective about it. Take a real hard code look at it, and forgive yourself. You can forgive yourself. Your children need to be discipled. Make sure your kids have opportunity to be at things here at the church, to be at church. But more importantly, to be in the Word with you, to spend time with you, with the Lord. Your kids need to see you pray. The kids need to see you, need to hear your stories about what your life is going through with the Lord, struggles that you're overcoming with the Lord's help, answers to prayer that the Lord is providing for you, testimony. Your kids need to hear that you're experiencing a testimony. And spend some time today thinking about what is most important. We see here in verse 13, Paul told Timothy, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. And then we see in verse 14, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, learn to live by faith. Teach your children to live by faith. Show them what that looks like. Teach your children how to pray and listen. Teach them how that works. Teach them how that operates. Teach them what it's like to really pour out your heart to the Lord. Teach them what it's like to spend time before the Lord. Teach them to listen to the Holy Spirit. And teach them to be led by the Spirit. One day, the greatest gift you can give your children is your children sit around and talk about their time, memories they've had with you. And at the end of the day, they value most that you show them that you believe in the Lord, you love the Lord, and that you're led by the Holy Spirit. There are no perfect mamas, but all mamas are really important, aren't they? They are important to the process of raising up Timothy's, boys and girls, men and women who love and serve the Lord, and the greatest virtues that can be seen in them is faith, hope, and love. Let's pray. Help us today to celebrate our mamas. We're thankful for the great gift, Lord. Help us, God, to be open to your words and to your instructions. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forward, please.